everybody, and welcome back to another episode of 90s Horror Films. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I have two awesome guests for you tonight. First of all, we've got Manny Serrano. Is that you? Yep. So your last name? Yep. All right.
Serrano.
Manny Serrano. How you doing, Manny?
All right. How are you? Good to be here.
Good, good. I'm doing fantastic. And we also got Bethany Brooke here. How you doing, Bethany?
I'm fantastic. Having a lot of fun.
All right. Awesome. Bethany and I worked together before on a little short that we did called Supernatural Assassins. So it's really great having her on here to discuss. This is her first time, I think, being on any of the podcasts. But Paul's been wanting to get you out for, you know, some of the stuff before, and it just hasn't happened yet, but it will. You know, you're local, so we should be able to get you to the studio at some point. But until then, we got you on here, and today we're going to talk about the 1992 film Candyman. And I picked this mainly because obviously Candyman, the new one, just came out, and so we want to talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about the new one later, at the end of the show, sort of thing. But in the beginning, I first want to ask, like, Manny, when was the first time you discovered this film? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. I've been watching it since it came out. It's honestly one of my favorite movies, like, period. I have a Candyman tattoo.
Oh, nice.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely love this film. When I was growing up, I always had a thing with mirrors. I never liked mirrors as a whole. I wasn't like freaked out by them, but sleeping in a room with a mirror was always weird to me, and reflections and everything. So like, I'm the kid that always had the TV on, because if the TV's off, it's a mirror. So I always had the TV on when I went to sleep. And even now, something that I didn't notice, but my wife, when we first got together in 2002, she noticed, why are there no mirrors in your apartment other than the bathroom? And I said, you know, it never occurred to me that I had no mirrors anywhere. And there still are no, and we just bought a house last year. There are no mirrors in the entire house other than the bathroom. it's always been a thing. So the movie always hit me really hard as freaky. So I'm going to assume I saw it as soon as it came out on video, because I did not see this in theaters, but I'm assuming I saw it as soon as it hit video. So it definitely 92 ish.
Yeah, I was 10 in 92. So I'm pretty sure I didn't see it in the theaters either.
I was 12.
Yeah. So there you go. Some parents let you, you know, watch my stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, Bethany, do you remember the first time that you watched this movie?
I did. So my mom, I used to live in Newport News, and I would stay with her on the weekends. And of course, you know, mom, you're not staying with her, you get to do all the cool stuff that you're not supposed to do. Well, Candyman happened to be the first one I ever saw. I was completely defiant, wouldn't go to bed. That was the one I was like, I need to see this. This is cool. You know, bees are coming out of his face. And I'm like, oh gosh, this is great. So I think it was probably about 5 or 6 when I first saw it. So
oh,
I was
wow.
Pretty young. It terrified me as a kid. But I loved it to death. And it's been it was my first horror film, and it's been my favorite ever since. So it's pretty cool.
That's great. I love hearing that, especially that when they watch it that young, you know, or whatever. Like, I think my first horror film was like, was it Jaws, you know, maybe if you count that as a horror film. I don't know if I really do or not, but I mean, I guess I do. It's definitely scary. But yeah, Candyman, I didn't watch till I believe I was like 13 or 14. But I do have a story with that. Is I do remember I had to have rented it, and I watched it in like my parents' room when I was a kid. And I remember me and my friend watched it together, and he lived like not across the street, but we'd go across the street to get to his house to, like, you know, to bring him home. And it was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 or 6. And it was starting to get dark, and my friend has a black friend who had a very deeper voice. So when I was walking, he would go, Jonathan, And it really kind of freaked me out at first. I was like, don't do that. That's just, you know, like, you know, he was just doing it. He can't do it as well as, you couldn't do it as well as Tony Todd. But after rewatching it again, I was like, oh, I love that. Like, I love that scene where he's yelling Helen to her, because it just brings me back to that specific times. Oh, are you going to say something, Manny?
Helen.
Yeah. Dude, oh man. Have you guys met Tony Todd yet?
I have.
You haven't met him? Not yet? Bethany?
I have.
Okay, but you have.
Yeah, I met him Monster Mania 1. Oh. So whatever year that was, 2008-ish.
Wow.
And
has it only been that long? Like, I keep thinking, yeah. I feel like it's been around for a lot longer than that. Jeez.
Yeah, they had, well, at the time they were only doing one a year. And then around, I think 2011 or 12, they started doing two a year in Jersey. And then they added the one in Maryland. So now it's like three or four a year, which is why they're at like 37 of them.
Right.
But wow. Yeah, I met him that weekend, and I had brought I brought my Candyman VHS to have it signed by him. And I had just gotten the tattoo, and he saw it, and he absolutely loved it. He's one of the sweetest guys in the world. He's really, really awesome. And he loves the fan base, and he loves what the film has done and how much people love it. He actually has a personal photo album of all the coolest things that fans have brought him and shown him that they've done, and that him and his wife keep. And my tattoo is now in his photo album.
That is awesome.
Yeah, he took a picture of with my arm. and yeah, so now my tattoo's in there. He had a whole bunch of really cool stuff. Conversely, the same weekend I met Doug Bradley, I also have a Hellraiser tattoo. When I showed him that, he looked at me like, why would you do that to yourself?
I'm sure some people feel like that's a little odd, not because like it's odd to have, you know, that whatever, but it's just, it's a bit odd because like, they're just like, you know, the fan service, you know, like that much. But I mean, I'm sure Kane Hodder gets, you know, tattoos or whatever. And I mean, all of them do. I met Tony at Blood at the Beach, and I was drunk, and I remember coming to him, and he's good friends with Monique Dupree and Monique's husband, Saint. And I was good friends with Monique. So I was like, I came down, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I was at the hotel. I was drunk as hell. And I walk up to him, and he looks at me. I get a picture with him, right? And the thing, and he looks at me and he goes, looks like you need to go to sleep, young man, you know, right? And it's Tony Todd voice. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm fine, whatever. But if you look at the picture, I look fucking tired as hell. I mean, I'm drunk, but I'm also like, I look tired. And he was, you know, and I started thinking later, when Candyman tells you need to go to sleep, you probably do. You know, I should have probably listened to him, but I don't think I did, you know, because I didn't listen to a lot of people that weekend. But anyway, that's sort of my favorite Tony Todd story I have. And sadly, Bethany, you said you haven't gotten a chance to meet him yet, but he goes to a lot of conventions. So, and I'm sure he'll come to Scares That Care at some point.
I'm hoping. I've done a lot of conventions, just not those few that you've mentioned. I'm working my way up.
Well, Scares That Care is in Williamsburg, and it is a charity convention, and it is a horror convention. So there are a lot of great guests that are there. And I don't think Tony is gone yet, you know.
No, I don't think so.
So, but
you'd hear me rant and rave on Facebook if that was the case.
Yeah, he'll be there though at some point, I'm sure, you know. They're working around to it. But anyway, let's go into what, you know, Candyman is for people at home that probably already aware. It's a 1992 film. Basically it was a, Manny, do you want to do the story? Let us know the story of Candyman.
Sure. It is a film about, grad student named Helen Lyle, who's doing a thesis on urban legends. And she and her partner come across the legend of Candyman. And they start to uncover it and realize and learn the story of Candyman being Daniel Robitel, who's played by Tony Todd, and that he was murdered, or he was, yes, he was murdered. He was an artist who was commissioned to paint a portrait of a young debutante back in, I believe it was the 1800s-ish. And he fell in love with her. And when the father and them found out, him being black, her being white, that's a big no-no. So they dragged him out. They cut his hand off. They stuffed a hook into the stump, smeared him with honey, hit him with they dumped a bee's hive on him, and then set him on fire. So that was his punishment. And now Candyman is the legend, and his ashes were spread amongst the grounds, which are now the Cabrini Green Projects in Chicago. And his legend lives on there.
Exactly. That was a very articulate summary of it and everything. Much better than what you say on like IMDb, you know. But thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. So to go into like a little bit more. So God, what's her name? You just said it.
Helen Lyle.
Helen Lyle. It's played by Virginia Madsen, who I haven't really seen much from her aside from this. I mean, she's been in a lot of stuff. I just don't know anything. Like, I think this is her biggest thing, I would guess, right?
I believe, like, she's been in a lot of stuff, but yeah, this is like this is what she's most known for. She did a lot of TV otherwise. Yeah, I remember she was in The Number 23 with Jim Carrey.
Nice.
Which I also loved, but yeah, other than that, I know her mostly from TV.
Yeah, she's been a lot of TV episodes and stuff and things. Like, I think she was in Law and Order, you know, one of the many of those, you know, probably SVU. But Tony Todd, this is definitely the thing that he is most known for. I adored him in this movie. Just not just his voice doing the stuff, but just the whole concept of like she. Okay, so we didn't mention, I don't think, in your summary that you say his name 5 times in the mirror, and that goes back to your whole discussion about mirrors. You say his name 5 times in the mirror, then he comes, you know, he's supposed to come, basically come behind you if you turn the lights off and everything. But he doesn't necessarily do that with her, does he?
No. There's a bit to it where he kind of is just a legend. He kind of is a legend. He's real, but he's a legend. The thing is with her, she does it with her friend, and her friend, they both of them say Candyman 4 times, and then her friend punks out and doesn't say it the 5th time. But Helen does. So did we lose Bethany there?
I think so. Bethany, are you still there? I guess not. I guess we lost her. She froze, but yes. Hopefully
she'll come back.
Bethany, if you can hear us, you know, come on back somewhere. I don't know. Internet's been acting really funky lately. Something happened. I think maybe she got kicked off or something.
There she is.
All right. Yeah, there you are. Did you get kicked off or something, or did the internet mess up, Bethany? You can unmute.
Yeah, I got kicked off.
Okay, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. Internet's been acting weird lately for everybody.
It's okay, we had a huge storm, so it's all right.
Yeah, I think that's the big problem. That was another thing. So I had another friend, I won't say who, but another friend who couldn't make it because of a storm issue. So there's just a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, the storm's right now. Crazy.
Yeah. Did you have one, Manny, like where you're at?
I'm in New York. So we got Queens got the brunt of it, but I'm just outside of Queens. So we kind of there was some flooding, but it wasn't terrible where I was. But yeah, it was still pretty bad. I had to drive to work in it, and avoiding accidents and things for quite a bit of the trip. I was literally driving to work during the hurricane. It was crazy. But yeah, by my house, we got lucky.
All right. Well, that's good. To go back to Candyman and the mirror stuff or whatever. So I'm guessing, Manny, you've never said Candyman 5 times in the mirror.
Oh, I have.
Okay. Right. What?
Oh, I've done it. Oh, I've done it. That. And,
wait.
And I've done Bloody Mary. Oh, yeah. What?
You don't like mirrors, but you'll do it.
I like superstitions. I'm a big skeptic on top of that. I may not like them, but they may freak me out, but it's not for anything supernatural. They just do. But I'm a big skeptic, but I still love superstitions, which is another part of why I like Candyman so much. I get a kick out of things that people attribute, paranormal, whatever to, I have a Ouija board collection, you know.
I got a Ouija board pillow.
I gotta talk.
But that brings to what we were talking about with Candyman. The reason why it doesn't is because he's just a legend. He's more or less a legend up to that point. They're telling the story in the beginning of Ted Raimi in a little guest spot. Ted Raimi's got a guest spot in the beginning playing the boyfriend of a girl who says Candyman in the mirror, and she gets killed. But that's just the urban legend of Candyman. So when Helen does it, she starts investigating Candyman and she doesn't believe him. So he obliges her by appearing. So it's almost as if before her, it wasn't actually a thing that happened. It might have in the past, but it's for the most part, just a superstitious legend. She causes the legend to come to life because, hey, you asked for it, you know.
he says that a lot too about that. That's interesting to think about because it wasn't until like she was skeptical about it and said, oh, it'll never work, and she didn't have any fear of it actually happening, and so that it's sort of like it's like that fear afterwards that, oh my god, you know. Yep. And he kind of fucks with her, man. But we'll get into that in a second. Bethany, I do want to ask, did you ever try it in the mirror?
I have been brave enough to do it, yes. Just because I was a little bit timid and shy about superstitions like that. Kind of got over that kind of fear. I also do not like mirrors myself, so that was a big step for me as well. So No, I thought that was a pretty cool thing to do. I was kind of hoping that it would happen. I didn't want to get killed, but, you know, I kind of wanted to see if it really happened. I really, truly believed in it. So who knows?
Yeah.
But I think that the other girl was very afraid of things. And I think it doesn't warp in my mind because Helen wasn't afraid. He had advantage of it. But the other girl behind her wasn't killed till later in the scene. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. It just doesn't make sense in my mind.
Well, I mean, yeah. And I think Manny talked about that as like, she never said the final, like, final one. She only did 4 times and she chickened out. And so he, you know, he came to her, but then he kills her later, but makes it look like, you know, that Helen did it, you know, and everything. So I think, I don't think even... She saw Candyman though, right? Before she died though, right? Did the friend. Yeah.
Yes.
So she saw Candyman. So she knows Candyman was real, yes, right before Candyman, like, you know, killed her. And so, but a lot of times I was like, even wondering, even having had seen it a while back or whatever, it's been a while since I've seen it, that like maybe that Candyman wasn't real. And it was all just part of her imagination, you know, that maybe she was just really messed up person who thought, you know, like, or whatever, because that's what he was making her look like, you know, that she was the one going around killing everybody. And it wasn't her. It was him.
His goal is to create, his goal is all about being a legend. Candyman, you live forever in infamy. you know? So his plan is to create, is to reinvigorate the legend with her. So, and that's kind of how they ended it as well, but I'm sure we'll get to that later. But that's what he's, that's what he does, is it's all about being a legend and living forever in, you know, legendarily, if that's a word, legendarily.
Legendary. Yeah, I think that is a word.
It's a word.
I think that works. If not, it's an urban dictionary somewhere.
There you go.
You know, everything's a word, you know? But yeah, so I agree. And, so real quick, I want to also talk about her. I guess it was her boyfriend. It wasn't her husband, right? It was her boyfriend.
Yeah, it's her husband. I believe it's her husband. Yes.
Husband? Okay.
Yes. Trevor Lyle. Yeah, it's her husband.
Yeah, Trevor Lyle. Okay. So husband. Yeah, no, that's right. Because they mentioned in the beginning when he says something like, my beautiful wife is coming, you know, like when he introduces her or whatever to the classmates who are up there or whatever talking. And that one girl gives a little look like, you know, like she can't, you know, and makes her suspicious at first, which later we find out she needed to be suspicious. But I looked him up, and the guy, the actor, was Xander Berkeley. And I keep forgetting who Xander Berkeley is. He was from Terminator 2. You know, that's how I know him. Mm-hmm. He was Todd, the stepfather.
Yep, the stepfather.
Every time I see him, like, because ever I know what he looks like when I see him, and I'm like, I always go, Todd and Janelle are dicks, you know. And he's still playing a dick. He played this kind of dick character who basically treated his wife like trash, you know, and kind of deserved everything that happened to him or whatever. So did you recognize him, Bethany, at all? Like, had you seen him and stuff?
I haven't really kind of gone into that. No, I didn't know he was in Terminator. No, I didn't recognize him.
Well, you were saying earlier that, like, Candyman was one of your first, like, I guess, rated R movies or whatever that you got to see. Terminator 2 was one of the first ones that I was, like, literally, that and RoboCop are, like, two of the ones I was allowed to watch, like, you know, without like a parent or guardian around or whatever at the time, right. You know, so, but Terminator 2, you know, so, that's a really big part of my heart, you know, so seeing Todd, you know, in it and having a bigger role than he did in Terminator 2, that was pretty cool.
I'll have to check up on that.
I wish they kind of went, well, I guess they really didn't have a lot of time. I mean, they did pack it with a lot of stuff going on, you know, but I was going to say, I just wish that there was more with the relationship.
Yeah. To me, he's one of those guys that, he's that guy that was in that movie. Like, you recognize him. You never remember his name. Remember what he played in the movie, but I know that guy who was in that thing, that's him.
He was good. I really liked him in this too. Like, I felt like he played a dick really well, you know. Well, and that was the thing, is like, he played a dick, you know, we all knew him as like somebody who's, you know, obviously we could tell he was cheating, you know, which, you know, obviously she could tell something was going on. He was showing up late. He wasn't answering his, you know, when she was in jail, he wasn't home, you know. So we all, and he lied to her. So we knew at that point, oh God, this guy's definitely an asshole. So let's also talk about Vanessa Williams' character, who she shows up in the sequel to, I guess, well, the newest one, was it the new Candyman, playing the same role. And we'll talk more about that later. But she was wonderful. Like, I loved her in this movie. But I had known her before from like Melrose Place, for the first season of Melrose Place. And I actually worked with her on a movie. It was a Lifetime movie. When I was in LA, I didn't know it was her. Didn't, you know, like, whatever. And I got to serve her drinks as a bartender. So I didn't know who she was, thank God, because I probably would have been like, oh my God, I love you, Candyman, blah, blah, blah. This time I just was like terrified of her as a person, because she was just very demanding actress. She was very, you know, she was a very, she was sweet, but she was very like you could tell she was the name actor in the group, you know what I mean? And so I was like already a little intimidated by her. I didn't even know who she was until later. So I thought that was kind of funny. But she was very good in this movie. What did you guys think of her? She was the girl from the projects that had the baby and, you know, all that. Bethany, first, do you want to answer that? What did you think of her?
I thought she was very powerful. It was really neat to see her in this particular film going backwards. Because I first saw Desperate Housewives. Oh, wow. But I thought it was really neat to, I really felt her character. I felt like I was watching through her eyes like it should have been. Not what most people would think, generalizing. But I thought it was just absolutely a flooring performance for her.
I thought she did, yeah, fantastic. What about you, Manny?
I thought she was wonderful. Yeah. She was great. She was one of the bigger names at the time as well. And I know that Tony Todd was starstruck when he saw her on set. When they met her, he was like, oh, to him was like, oh, look who I'm working with. You know, it's so early in his career. And he was excited to be working with her.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I guess 10 degrees of Tony or whatever. Do you like, I'm there. I'm already next to Tony on that too, but she's a great actress, and I mean, she's just a powerhouse on set. I mean, I was scared to give her drinks because she was just, you know, like she was a little bit intimidating. You could tell
who she is. Yeah.
But you know, I mean, like she didn't get there by, you know, kind of, not being intimidating, I guess, yeah. You know? So I really enjoyed her performance in this, and I thought she just was phenomenal. And I thought that this whole, I guess the whole idea of the two people doing their thesis, they go to the projects and the funny ideas that they're told that they, you know, the girl says, do they look like cops? You know, Bernadette, I guess was her name. They said that they look like cops. And so they, all of a sudden the gang people thought they look like cops. You know, what are you, 5-0? You know, mm-hmm. And so they go upstairs, and of course they're not going to follow the cops, you know? So it was, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. Like, she came in there, she saw them and she talks to them. And later on they get some more information from her, I guess, you know, and her little boy who, once again, later we'll discuss it, but he comes into play in the new one.
Her little boy is the baby.
Yes, her little boy is the baby.
Yeah, the other kid is just another kid who lives in the projects.
Oh no, that's what I meant. I meant the baby.
Oh, okay.
And that's her baby, you know.
Yes.
So like her baby is the one who later on has a big part in the stuff. But the little boy from there, you know, we'll discuss the sequel or whatever later. So then basically they find out that this place that, you know, this, all this stuff happened, you know, I guess everybody kind of just left it, you know, there or whatever, like nobody's moved in. It didn't seem like, if I'm correct, right? Like nobody moved into that place. And
some of the projects had been sold off and redeveloped, which is what Helen lives in, one of the redeveloped gentrified buildings, and they tore down some of them, and other parts of the projects are just there. Some people still live in them. Some people squat in them. Some people still pay to live there.
Yeah. So like that. Yeah, what were you saying, Bethany?
I said, I thought people were living down on the second like level of it.
Yeah. So there's some people still live in and mm-hmm. some, and some people not, you know, yeah. Or whatever.
And that's not far from reality either. That's very close to the way it actually is in Cabrini Green, that there are some abandoned apartments and there are some where people are living there. And other areas that are completely gentrified. It's very true. It's actually what Bernard Rose wanted. He specifically went when he decided to shoot the film in Chicago. He told his location manager, like, find me the shittiest neighborhood, the worst of the worst of the ghetto apartments that we can find. And they brought them to Cabrini Green. Anne Marie McCoy is the character that Vanessa Williams plays. Is actually a real person. She is a person, she was killed. Someone actually did come through the bathroom mirror from an abandoned apartment next to her and kill her in the apartment. So the story she's telling about Ruthie Jean, that's actually Anne-Marie McCoy's story.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that is a true story.
Okay, so I didn't even know Cabrini Green was a real place.
Yep.
Interesting. So did you know that, Bethany, or? Okay. All right, cool. Well, I did not know that.
What else is it? There's actually another movie that takes place in Cabrini Green, but they never mention it. Another horror movie. It's going to come to me. I can't remember, but
it's another movie set in Chicago. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Another horror film.
Cool. I'm guessing they did it after Candyman. I wonder if that put like Cabrini Green on the map a little bit. If people come over there, just take pictures and say they went to the Candyman location.
I highly doubt it.
Really? You don't think so?
It is not the neighborhood you want to go walk around in. It's
for real.
Yeah. Even in the movie, a lot of the gang members you see are actual gang members in Chicago. That's actually from Cabrini Green. There's four or five gangs that pretty much own Cabrini and they wouldn't leave. So they had police escorts while they were shooting. They actually paid off the gang members to leave them alone and just not mess with them while they were shooting. There was even police snipers on the roof in case anything went wrong.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's a couple of different warring gangs that fight over the areas of Cabrini Green. So Bernard Rose paid them to just be in the film and for the establishing shots. The close-up shots are actors, but there are actual gang members in the film because they just wouldn't leave. Like, we're shooting here now, and you got to make us leave, and good luck making us leave, you know?
Wow. I'm surprised. I guess they wouldn't want to pay them to be like actually in the movie to, you know, because they're not actors, you know, or whatever. They can't, you know, I really like the lead gang guy that was like, I hear you're looking for Candyman, bitch. Mm-hmm.
The Candyman. You know, yes.
Yeah, the Candyman, bitch. And then he like attacks her and shit. And because I hadn't seen the movie in so long, I totally forgot most of the shit, you know. So I was like, wait, what the, because I hadn't seen it since I was a kid.
Wow.
You know? This wasn't something like, and it's probably something I'm going to watch more and more because now that I'm an adult, like I really, but I think that the movie had scared the shit out of me into like thinking I don't really want to watch this again anytime soon, you know? And then I watched the new one and I was like, okay, I need to revisit this. This is why I chose this as a thing because, you know, I knew I had to revisit it. And it was still like, I mean, I'm fucking almost 40 years old and I was, you know, looking at the television going, I don't know if I want to watch it on Tubi, you know, like, I mean, I don't have any mirrors in my room. I don't think. No.
There you go.
Thank God.
Subliminally, subconsciously affecting you for the rest of your life.
It will. I mean, cause I've never done Candyman. I'll not do it. I am very superstitious and I don't want to like, I mean, I don't think I'm going to die from it, but I don't want to try it, you know, like,
As my wife says, she says, I may not believe in it, but I'm Irish enough to know not to mess with it.
Exactly. And I'm part Irish. So I
there you
it.
Go. You know,
that might be all it. Irish. I adored rewatching this because it was like those characters, you know, the stuff that happened, I totally forgot. And it was almost like watching it brand new. You know,
that's good.
Like I said, I do remember Helen and his voice and the parking lot scene. That scene sticks out in my mind like a sore thumb, and I love that. I forgot that she was committed, and I realized when she got committed that the actor who was in it was one of my favorite like supporting actor guys. He's been in a bunch of stuff, but he was the doctor who's talking to her. He was in one of my favorite movies, Ed Wood. And he was in a ton of other movies, but I remember him also from like Entourage before he sadly passed away in 2005. You know, do you know what I'm talking about, Bethany?
Yes, I know. That was like, wait a minute, that rings a bell now.
And that guy, I think his name was like Stanley or something. That guy had acted in so many movies, and every time I hear his voice, you know, it's kind of like Tony Todd. You know, like certain people have certain voice that you're like, that's that guy, you know, like, you know, I know him from, I don't remember his name, but I remember him from the movie.
Stanley DeSantis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I look it up because I don't recognize him from other things. I feel like I recognize his face, but I don't know if I've ever seen him, like, no.
Yeah, no, it was his voice when he talked, yeah. Because he, Manny, have you ever seen Ed Wood?
Yes.
He's the guy in the, have you seen it, Bethany?
I have not.
Okay. Well, he's the guy that talks to Ed Wood and is like, oh, you got a picture for me, you know, right? And he's like,
one of the producers.
Yeah, one of the producers. And if you watch it, you'll hear his voice and you'll be like, ah, you know, right? Because, okay. You know, and he has a specific voice. And I also remember him as Scott Wick in Entourage, where he's just like this, he's a producer, you know, who had, you know, who's kind of a dick to Vincent at first. And then when he realized, oh, shit, I got a cash cow here. Mm. He was a lot nicer, you know, but he has like a certain voice and a certain, you know, attitude toward him. And I really liked him in this movie, particularly, especially when she just got to say his name five times in the mirror to bring him back. I was like, oh, man, it's like, I was like, is that really how you get rid you get rid of people, man? Like if you're in jail, just say Candyman five times in a mirror. Well, don't think you can have a mirror in jail, but you know, not, you know, I don't think that's allowed.
It's a possible weapon. Yes.
Possible safety hazard too.
Yeah.
You might be able to cut yourself from it, you know, but anyway, that's what I thought, because I hadn't seen it in so long. I thought, oh shit, she's going to get locked up in jail. And then what? The movie's over, right? Like if they had locked her up in jail and not just in the mental ward or whatever, she could have just like, what, you know, like what would have happened?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. Maybe you would have brought him back in the showers or something.
Well, no, wait a minute. There was that scene where she was talking to him, you mm-hmm. know, so he was still reaching out to her. She didn't have to just say his name five times.
Right. He at this point, he was just coming to her.
Right.
Like she was right. Even strapped to the table and he was floating over her body. He was floating over her and she's shouting that he's in the room. He's in the room. He's here. He's under the bed. And that's when we go to her in the psychiatrist's office and they're watching the video where she's just screaming and there's nobody in the room with her. So he was already messing with her.
Yeah. Which once again, starts problem in making the audience when they first started watching this for the first time thinking, is this real or is this really just in her mind? Because mm-hmm. it could have gone that way, you know. It could have been just she's just insane, because it really like made me think about it. Is like she's doing this, you know, she's doing this thesis on an urban legend, and the urban legend is sort of making her go crazy.
Yep,
you know. But is she crazy or is she not crazy? And then by the end of the movie, you find out she's not crazy, and then you know. And that he was really there, you know, the whole time.
And there's a lot of realism to that too. And the nice thing about this movie is a lot of people can connect to that. You know, you don't really know what happens in a ward like that. You don't really understand what goes on, but now you're actually seeing that there are things like that that actually happen. And I think that makes the beauty of the movie there.
Yeah, definitely. I think there are people like, even if they're probably don't have Candyman like floating above them, they really think that's there, you know, like that hallucination, you know, of it. So maybe they're not crazy. Maybe that, that Candyman or whoever is actually there, you know,
2000 years ago, you heard the voice of God. You were a prophet. Today, you're a drunk on the subway.
True. You know,
so
I wonder, you know, like sometimes maybe you really do hear that shit. I mean you do hear and you do see it, but those people are generally noted as crazy, you know whatever. I remember, I mean, I've seen shit, you know, hallucinations and stuff that I don't like, you know, and it scared the shit out of me. So I don't ever want to see hallucinations again in my life. I'm good.
You know, people pay good money for that kind of thing sometimes, you know.
I know. Well, you know, they can pay their money. That's fine. I'm good. I'll leave it to like watching it on television and shit. That's my hallucination. I can, oh, you know. Yeah, so this movie, I guess we haven't talked about really. So after that stuff, what happens is basically she goes back home and finds out that her husband's been cheating on her. And then she comes back and sees, she she thinks she found the baby at the place, but he wasn't there. You know, the baby wasn't there. It was Candyman was there, you know, and the, I don't know where she went. It was like this, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. She wakes up in, Anna Marie's apartment.
Right.
First, she's in her apartment and, she wakes up in Anna Marie's apartment and that's when, and she finds that she's covered in blood and she hears screaming from the other room and they find, and she turns and finds the dog's head on the ground.
Which I'm sorry, that made me sad. Like I hate that shit. Like I'm not a big person on like killing animals in movies, you know. But you know, whatever, that like it, for some reason it didn't bother me as much when I watched it though, because I think it's because I didn't really get much time with the dog, you know, or whatever. But
the only time you saw the dog was when he was trying to attack her for coming in. He was guard dogging.
Right.
He wasn't a nice dog.
He was supposed to. Yeah. That's his, you know.
Yep, that's his job.
That's his, especially with gangs and shit there. Mm-hmm. Good for him. But unfortunately, didn't really work out.
So she woke up, she finds that, and we see Anna Marie over the baby's crib screaming. So we assume that the baby's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But we find out the baby's not dead, the baby's just missing. So it's, where did you do with my baby? And that's when the police arrest her, they take her to the hospital, and that's when then we go through what we just talked about, the psychiatrist, and then Candyman shows up, kills the psychiatrist, then he lets her out and she goes home to find her husband with the student. And
basically already redoing the place.
Yes.
I mean, she hadn't even been gone for like 2 days.
No, she'd been there. It had actually been almost a month.
Been a month?
Yep.
Shit. Okay. Never mind. I thought for some reason it had been like less than that, but
it makes it seem like that. But she's really a month. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah.
The doctor says it.
Okay, so she'd been a month. So she comes home, finds that, and then she gets mad. But she doesn't kill them or anything. She just kind of leaves. And she ends up going to the place where she thinks the baby is, I guess, right? Or whatever.
No, I think they leave. And they stay in the apartment. And this is when the friend... is it? Oh, Jesus, my dog's going nuts now. Yeah, that's right. She leaves, yes. And then that's when the friend finds her.
No, the friend was dead. Are you talking about the Bernadette? She was dead. Yes. He was killed her.
That's before this? Okay.
Yeah, because that's why she went into the hospital. Because
she murdered
the friend.
Yeah, that's right. I'm mixing them up.
Right. So I'm just trying to, I can't remember because I just saw it like a bridge. Was that?
Yeah, because she walks over to the bridge and she's just kind of standing there like thinking, like, what do I do now?
Right. So she ends up going to where she thinks the baby is, but it's Candyman is like laying there. And so she comes to kill Candyman, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter because, I mean, technically he's already dead. What?
He's just like a heavy sleep. I'm like, he's a heavy sleeper. I'm like, how did you not hear her walk in there? Like, how did you not hear her like right in front of your face?
I think he did and just didn't care, you know, because at that point, I mean, once again, you can't kill Candyman. He's already dead, you know, like, well, all right, we'll get into that, I guess, in a little bit, what technically happens with that. But she finds the baby in like a heap of junk, you know, because she hears the baby's crying and she goes and finds it and she comes. He wants Candyman wants her to be his victim, as he says. Because basically I guess he wants the legend to be like a big deal, and you know, like, oh man, she brought me back and now I kill her. You know, this legend, as you said earlier, Manny, continues, you know, and everything. People will believe, you know, and that was the big thing. He wants people to start believing in her. And I think what gets him mad is that she tells the little boy not to believe. There's no Candyman. Candyman's not real. I think that's what starts really pissing him off, is like she's doubting the Candyman's existence. You know, would you agree, Manny?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That she doesn't believe in him, and that's what causes Candyman to show up in the first place. Because you're telling people not to believe in me, but it's the fear of him that gives him his power, that allows him to survive through time. And yeah, he wants to reinvigorate the legend with her. He tells her that he'll spare the child if she will join him. And turns out he's lying to her. He's saying what he has to say to her to get her to come to be his victim. And that's when she wakes up in the pile of rubble, in the bonfire that the city, that the residents have been building for however long. They were going to have a bonfire for the big party. I don't know what the bonfire party was supposed to be for originally, but so she wakes up in underneath the rubble of the bonfire pile, and the baby's there, and she's trying to get out with it, and then Candyman shows up behind her. And no, we're going to stay here together, and this is going to be our new legend. Our congregation, being the Cabrini Green tenants, our congregation will believe in us again.
Mm. Yeah, so that was insane. Like, that was crazy. Like, so basically what happens, you know, there's like, she's in that pile of junk, so they see, was it, they see the hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was her holding the hook or whatever. Who, like, was he there actually? No, with
I think she was holding the hook, if I'm not mistaken, because, you know, she was climbing up with it.
Oh, okay. Was, like, the second one. So the little boy that we see before, he actually starts believing in Candyman. Yeah, and the, you know, sees her and tells everybody, Candyman's in the junk. You know, like, we need to get rid of Candyman. So they set Candyman, like, they set the whole thing on fire, and they bring the baby out and all that stuff. And she brings the baby out, and she, you know, her hair's all gone. And I mean, she basically looks like the next Candyman. Yeah, you know,
she burns to death, essentially.
But yeah.
Before she dies, she saves the baby. Yes.
She saves the baby, and she goes on, and and then there's a little funeral, and you see all the people come and pay their respects, their congregation. Mm-hmm. You know, comes to pay respects and say whatever, and then the man says her name, Helen, five times in the mirror, which is really awkward. And that was one of the parts I was like, this is one of my least favorite parts, because I'm like, really, you know, so you're gonna look
he's creating the legend of her now, even though, I mean, it's really just him conjuring her. It's like, because in the beginning he's telling the story of superstitions and urban legends and stuff to his class, so he happened to say her name while he was in the bathroom, and then he looks in the mirror like kind of in his mind, like, what if I said it, would that bring her back? Because right. It's kind of that like he realizes what he lost by you know, once she's dead, even though he was cheating on her and he was a really crappy husband, you know, you don't know what you have until it's gone. So mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those moments.
Yeah, no, yeah. He didn't realize it, because I guess, I mean, he thought he probably thought he wanted a younger
mm-hmm.
woman in his life or whatever. But I think once he had it, he just didn't enjoy it. You know, like, he missed what he had with his wife, which was much better than what he's going to have. Like, I hate to say it, but the girl who played, I forgot what her name was, the character name. They said it, Stacy or something.
Stacy. Stacy.
And she's wanting to cook for him or whatever. She wants to like be his new wife. What? Mm-hmm. What were you saying, Bethany?
Yeah, Karen Lowry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see the difference in, right. You see her in the kitchen trying to cook and just kind of throwing everything down because she's frustrated with him, but she really doesn't know what she's doing. And then you see Trevor's flashbacks to Helen being his wife. And, you know, I mean, it's very stereotypical, like, oh, I had a wife who cooked and yeah, I had a wife who cooked and made me, you know, and treated me well. And now here I am with this young, dumb bimbo. Now she's gone. He was having both worlds at the same time. And mm-hmm. now he's kind of stuck with his latter decision.
Right. Which wasn't the best decision for him. I mean, it had she not been there and had he just been alone, you know, for the month or whatever and stuff, they could have worked something out, you know.
He might have paid more attention and he, who knows, he might have actually been, I don't know, maybe helpful. Maybe he might have been a little bit more helpful sooner along her journey.
Well, right. Yeah. And we forgot to mention earlier, there was a professor, I guess, that she was the one who explained the story, the one that you told. Mm-hmm. And I love that scene, by the way. And that guy, that actor, I know him from somewhere and I don't know where. And I didn't really look him up on IMDb or not, but I know he's this British guy who's been in stuff and I loved him. You know,
he's another one of those actors that's been in everything, but this is actually his first film.
Was this his first one?
This was his first, well, at least his first feature. This is his first role.
But he's been a lot ever since then.
He did a lot of stuff since, but this was his first role.
I forgot like where I know him from. I've seen, and it was the long hair that really like, mm-hmm. you know, I go, and the voice, you know, that made me go, I know that guy from somewhere. But I just can't like.
Yeah, I'm looking him up. I don't recognize. And I mean, I recognize other films that he's in, but I don't recognize him from those films. I'm just kind of scrolling through it as we're.
What was his name?
Michael Culkin.
You know, and that was the other thing is I was like, is he related to Macaulay? is he at all? But maybe. What? Michael Culkin.
No, he's an Irish actor. He's yeah, it says Irish actor. So I don't think so. Not no. that I don't know if Macaulay Culkin's Irish, but I think this guy's Irish from Ireland.
Right, no. And I see nothing but like he's in mainly a lot of TV, but he's in a lot of TV from you know the UK and. Mm-hmm. And whatnot. So if I do know him from anything, it's going to be
Fifth Element, because he was in the Fifth Element.
Okay. Know.
Yeah.
And he's also in Candyman too.
Yes.
It's
which I mean. Shame on me. Well, I have not. Shame on me.
I saw. Well, I don't think I even watched Candyman 2 because I was too afraid of Candyman 1. You know, so I never watched it.
I've seen 2 and 3, but I haven't seen them in forever. I haven't seen them in so long. So I couldn't tell you much about them.
Yeah. So I was looking up his stuff. Yeah. I don't, I guess maybe he has one of those voices and one of those looks that just, I thought, you know, because I'm looking at his stuff. I do not recognize him from anything that he is, you know? No. So
yeah,
all right.
Again, just one of those faces and voices. Yeah,
exactly. But he's, you know, he did a great job and he was kind of this like, you know, dick character who's kind of like the snobby professor guy. And I liked him. I really, really adored what he had to like.
It's a great scene.
You know, what he had to bring because, you know, that scene was just, that scene kind of like set up everything, especially since she thought she could beat him. And yet he knew way more about Candyman than she could. And he actually sort of helped her with her thesis, you know, in a way. To give her a little bit more backstory on Daniel, you know. So have you, Bethany, have you seen the new Candyman yet?
I have not. I'm really excited to, though. Hopefully I'll go see it soon if it's still in theaters.
Okay.
What do you think of it?
Oh, well, we'll talk about that in a second, but Manny, have you seen it?
Oh yeah. I saw it opening weekend.
Me too. Yeah. I think opening day, I want to say it was either Friday or Saturday.
Yeah. I think you could go opening day. You just did something on Facebook about it. And I was like, I'm so mad right now.
I know. It was definitely, I'll say it like I had little issues with it, but I can't really go into that, you know, especially if people haven't seen it. I will be doing a Candyman remake show episode on Horror, Blood, and Coffee. So I'll be talking more about that, you know, and stuff. And that will have spoilers. And if people are mad about that, then don't listen to podcast, because it's that's going to have tons of spoilers. Don't listen to it until you've seen it, because I will say we will talk about.
Well, Bethany, I'll tell you, if you're going to see it, have you seen any of the trailers yet, other than the puppet trailer?
I've seen the trailers, yes.
Oh, see, I went in completely blind. I saw the puppet trailer that came out months ago, which was absolutely beautiful. But other than that, I went in completely blind, and I'm so glad I did, because from what I understand, it looks like they really spoiled a lot in the trailers, and I've read a few articles on it, and they're talking about something that happens in, like you mentioned it, that it's, you know, Anna Marie and Anthony have a part in the film. I didn't know that going in, and that's something that's revealed an hour in. And yeah. It was the most incredible reveal. I didn't see the connection coming at all. And because I'm watching the movie, and I said, I went in as blind as possible. And I wasn't even confirmed whether or not Tony Todd was in the film. And it's, you know, so I wasn't confirmed nothing. So I was like, oh, I'm just waiting for when is he going to be in this? Is he not in this? And it was so exciting just waiting to see when the real Candyman shows up that it kind of blinded me to some of the clues of what was going on, the actual connection to this film. And I think that was like the best way to see it, because me and my wife, she also didn't see any trailers. And oh my God, when we learned who Anthony was, and it was the most amazing reveal. It was incredible. It made the film so good. I absolutely loved the film, by the way. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was, it was perfect. It's perfect. Perfectly done.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Well, you know, maybe later I can pick your brain, Manny, on some other stuff on it. Because there are some things I didn't like, you know, in it, but all in all, I enjoyed it. You know, it was a fun little movie. I mean, I think I gave it 3 stars out of 5 on Letterboxd.
I gave it 4.5.
What? You gave it 4.5. You give a half?
Yes.
Star? How do you do that?
Yeah, you got to kind of drag over the star like halfway and you'll see it split. Ooh. Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that. You can do that on the app?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. You just blew my mind.
Go all change right. all those reviews.
Oh, right. Because I had them on like 4, not 4.5 on a couple. And I'm now just, you know, just getting into it. So if anyone wants to add me on Letterboxd, I'm at Indie Film Cafe. Manny, what are you? Oh yeah, you're on it because you added me.
MGP director on there.
MGP director. Mm-hmm. Bethany, you got to get a Letterboxd. I'm pretty sure you don't have one right now, but
I will.
It's a fun like little thing. You can add your friends. You can see what movies they like, what movies they don't like. Mm-hmm. You know, whatnot. It's kind of an interesting little thing. A lot of my friends have been using it for a long time. I'm always late to the game these things. So I was just like, should I get one? Should I get another app? You know, whatever. Right. And then I was like, all right, whatever. Everybody else has one. Yeah. It took me a while. I mean, I literally just got it last night because we were talking about it in my review and I was like, all right, I'll do it. You know, I mean,
I joined in January. because I saw everybody in December and January was posting all their lists of all the movies they'd seen, how many films they'd watched through the year. And I'm like, how do you people keep track of this? Like, how do you keep track of everything that you watch? Like, oh, I've seen 600 movies this year. How do you do this? And then I realized that they were all posting their Letterboxd list. And I was like, oh, that's a way to do it. So I'm only tracking the horror films I watch. That's like 90% of what I watch to begin with. You know, but every horror film, you put it in your diary as having been watched it. And every film in my diary, I write a review for those. So I have a review for every horror movie I've watched this year, including the ones that I've rewatched. I watched it again, ends up in your diary again. Oh, that's pretty cool. So apparently at the end of when you can do a whole spreadsheet or something on it, that'll tell you how many movies you've watched, how many you've watched that were first time watches, how many you've watched that you've seen before. Something, you know, it was pretty cool.
Wow.
I said, all right, if that's what everybody's doing, fine, let's do this.
I need to dive more into it, but like, it's one of those things where it's going to take me a while to like really like, you know what I mean,
start the free version too, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I didn't know. What's the cost of the pro?
I think it's like $20 a year. What? Or something.
Oh, a year.
Yeah. It's like 20 bucks a year.
I was like 20 bucks a month.
Something like that. Yeah. It might be even cheaper than that. I'm not totally sure, but yeah, it's like $20 a year, but I think you can only create those spreadsheets or something, those lists. If you have like, you only print out that end of year roundup if you pay for it. So
if it's a year thing, I might do it like at the end of the year or something.
That's what I was thinking,
you know? Yeah, especially if I'm planning to do that. I don't know. Because I don't really, like, I know I watch a lot of movies, but now I can't remember everything I've watched, like, you know, from like whatever. So, especially when we do Indie Film Cafe, we watch a lot of fucking movies. I do have a list of the 31 ones I'm going to be doing for 31 Days of Indie Horror.
Nice.
So I'll have that. But
oh, you can create, you make your list on there too. You can actually create, you can create lists. I have a list because we do our podcast is Collection Resurrection. So I created a list on there of the films that we've covered on the show. So people can just find out what we've done on the show. And on my, as of my diary, yeah, I don't have any list. I don't know number. Yeah, I guess I'm gonna have to pay for it to know exactly how many films I've watched.
Are you gonna pay for it soon? I guess
probably. Yeah, probably in December or so. Okay. Let me see my diary. Okay, yeah, I just have my profile gives you the basic number, so I have 161 films in my diary. I've written 144 reviews. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, everybody, my the Horror Blood and Coffee episode that we're going to be doing for Candyman will be at the last Friday of this month. So that'll be actually the season finale of Horror Blood and Coffee, and then we'll be back, you know, next year. We're really excited. I mean, hopefully by then Bethany will have seen, you know, Candyman and can.
Oh, there'll be no doubt.
Yes, and she can listen to our podcast and hear our thoughts on that, and you can too, Manny. You know, let me know what your thoughts are. The funny thing is, my two of my co-hosts, Samantha Marie and Derek Huey, were not fans of the new one, so
I know exactly why too, and I can't say it because it's the ending.
Oh, for real? It was that?
I'm sure that's what it is.
Well, actually, they said that they bored them. You know,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, yeah. But see, that's the thing. That's a great, that's what I love about movies, period. Because everybody has a different take, you know, on these different things. I wasn't bored by it. I will say the middle of the movie sort of got slower for me. But when reveals get made, I thought it was kind of cool, you know, and I get what you're saying with the ending, you know, but I kind of disagree. Like, I think that's the part they might actually sort of like things, you know, for, but I don't know.
We're dancing around it. So
we can't say anything
around it.
We can't say anything. Yeah. Well, Bethany's here. We don't want to.
I'm not even her. Just the listeners, I don't want to spoil it. This is not the spoiler show for that.
I did spoil something that I didn't realize, like, you know, before on my but I was like, it's been out, you know, and they're like, well, it's only been out a week. I'm like, it's been out longer than a week, You know, it's been like 3 weeks. Yeah. Like it's almost a month. You know, you can, if you haven't seen it by then, you know,
I do think that for podcasts, I think that if you're going to listen to something, if you listen to a podcast where people are talking about a film that they want, you have to assume there's going to be spoilers. Cause how can you sit for an hour talking about a movie and not spoil anything? You know, I specifically will avoid things like that. Avoid listening to it. Or if there's a movie where like, oh, I'm on the fence of if I want to watch it, I'm going to listen to a podcast, let them spoil some of it to see if it interests me. You know?
Oh, that's an interesting.
Spoilers don't bother me too much most of the time for that specific reason. Because sometimes it gets me more interested. Like I want to see how they did it, and I want to see the reveals. I want to see, you know.
I got spoiled about the end of Mandalorian season 2 before I watched it, and it still made me intrigued to watch it. You know, it actually made me more excited to watch it because then I'm like, okay, let's get to that scene. Let's get to that stuff and watch it, you know. But some people feel like it's completely, you know, it completely ruins the stuff. And maybe it does for some things, you know.
It's all about how you watch something and what you want out of it. Like if you just want to be surprised and you just want to go through the journey of it. But like specifically, I'm not into like Star Wars and I'm not really into Star Wars and like Marvel movies and things like that. So, but a lot of my friends are. So a lot of the time they'll kind of tiptoe around the conversation. And I'm like, no, just say it because maybe I'll hear something that sounds interesting to me. And I want to see it because my wife loves those sorts of movies. She loves she likes that fantasy and Marvel and like Game of Thrones and stuff like that. And none of that really interests me. I'm almost entirely horror is my viewing preference. It's all horror films. Spoiling things sometimes makes it more interesting for me. You know, like I didn't watch Game of Thrones, but I watched the Red Wedding episode. Oh. All right. This sounds interesting. Didn't get me to watch the rest of the show, but that was cool.
Did you like it? Considering you didn't know any of the characters or much.
I mean,
of the
it was
setup.
Interesting to watch, but it's, you know what it is? It's the time period for me that like sword and sorcery, dragons, middle age, medieval, Lord of the Rings, like that setting just doesn't really interest me much, especially when you throw Sean Bean in it. He's in all of them. And I feel like he's wearing the same costume in every single one of them. I hate watching Sean Bean though. For that reason.
What is it? There's a, like a thing where he dies in every movie or something.
It's the best part of every movie he's in.
Yeah, he just dies in everything, you know. So, you know, I would love to make a movie with him and not kill him off at all, just to piss people off because like people are just waiting for that. And then
I don't think he dies in the island.
Oh,
with okay. What is
Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
Is that the island?
Is that the beach? That's the beach.
That's the beach. That's okay. The beach. No, the island with Scarlett Johansson. And, okay. I want to say Jude Law, but it's not Jude Law.
Ewan McGregor?
Ewan McGregor. There you go.
See, I knew it because I get those two fucking people mixed up all the time. And there I thought go. I was the only one. I thought I literally was the only one who got them mixed up. And I'm like, wait, is it Ewan McGregor? No, it's Jude Law. They could fucking play brothers. I don't know. Like they're interchangeable to me. But anyway, I want to, we're at the end, overall, you know, you guys, I mean, Manny, you said you've seen this movie probably, I don't know, a lot of times, you know, so this wasn't new to you at all, you know, but did you, you rewatched it for the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy it even more, you know, since you're,
every time I love it every single time. Yes.
And Bethany, I want to say this, and I'm not trying to call you out or anything, but you just discovered Tubi today. So has your like life been changed?
Entirely. I only have like Disney Plus and stuff. I used to have Netflix, but I think being able to go back and rewatch Candyman on top of that, you know, Tubi, it broadened my horizons on some other horror films as well, or brought back some memories I haven't seen so long. So yes, very much so. Very much so.
She had told me like she was like, is this a free app? And I was like, you never used Tubi. Like it like changed my life last year, you know, because I could do more shows and have you know, like this, when I was doing 31 Days of Indie Horror, most of the indie horror is on Tubi, you know, which is freaking amazing. So I love that. So thank you, Bethany, for coming on the show and chatting with us about that. And everything. Is there anything like you wanted to add about your experience watching it?
Y'all have we're pretty much on the same level playing field. I really enjoyed the historics of it because I'm a big history buff too. So anytime you put horror and history together, it really just blows my mind. I would like to have seen it go a little further into the historical side, but that's just me.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have like flashbacks or something with Tony, you know, and the stuff happening with not just the story, you know, but like actually seeing it happen. But I think this was, if I'm correct, this was like a low budget movie in a way. Like this wasn't, I mean, not like mega low, but it was low for Hollywood standards. So I mean, you know,
I think it was about 3 million. I could be wrong. I think it was about 3 million.
3 million is Blumhouse, you know.
Yeah, well, 3 million is Blumhouse now. 3 million in 1992. That's like a $10 million film today.
Okay,
money does go a lot farther, but yes, for the time that was kind of low. That was on the lower end. But the backstory stuff, they do more of that in parts 2 and 3. They get more into flashbacks showing him and at the time when he was a painter and all that, because that's a story. That backstory, actually, Tony Todd wrote that with Bernard Rose. They came up with that for this film. The original, I know me and you were talking earlier about this, that I went back and re-listened to the audiobook of it, because I had read the Clive Barker's book 20, 25 years at least.
Oh, wow. You know,
it's a short story, but it takes place in England, and it's about the British class society. So it has nothing to do with race whatsoever. It's just about... a slum where people live and how they're forgotten. And it's about, and Helen is actually researching the graffiti on the walls, and she discovers the Candyman paintings. And there is no backstory to who Candyman is in the original story. He's just an urban legend. And there actually is candy in, she actually does find candy in the room when she finds the painting of the Candyman on the wall through the hole, that she finds candy there and razor blades in the bed and everything. So it does touch on that a little bit, but there's no actual backstory as to who he is.
Right.
But that entire, all of Tony Todd's dialogue of be my victim and, you know, our congregation and all of that whole diatribe he has, that's in the original story.
Oh, okay.
That's still there. But the big thing that really traveled over from the book to this is the fact that she's a naive student, and she thinks she's going to go into this world that she has no experience of, and she's going to expose something that the rest of the world doesn't know exists and becomes a victim of it. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going to expose these people that live there, that these naive people who believe in these stories that are, you know, that are not true. And then it turns out to be true. And it's the same thing in the story where she's talking, she's covering the graffiti, and she thinks she's going to uncover the secret code to what they're trying to say in the graffiti on the wall. And she's going to kind of bring light to something that,
I think we lost Bethany.
Yeah, she's kind of going in and out.
Yeah. Oops.
But her naivety is what really transfers from the story to the movie. And that's a big part of it.
All right. Well, if we don't have her back, we'll probably end it in a little bit anyway. And okay. I'll just say I'm sorry that, you know, I mean, wasn't my fault. I didn't kick her out.
Clearly she's having internet issues.
But, yeah,
I mean that's unfortunate.
That's the part of
this is Zoom. Why most people hate Zoom.
I know. I think
they don't like these things.
They're trying to fix things. Mm-hmm. I know. I just updated my Zoom, so apparently, if you update it, it fixes a lot of glitches that they Does had. It? So yeah. So I'm hoping, you know, that's all I want is to kind of keep fixing. Okay, Bethany's back. Hold on, let me bring her back real quick. All right. Yeah, just to wrap this up, and finish this off here. But yeah, okay. So Bethany, we're finishing this up and wrapping it up, but thank you, Manny, because you brought a lot of stuff that you you know, that you learned from, I guess, the different did you listen to commentary too or something? And then
I didn't get a chance to listen to the commentaries. I went through a bunch of the special features because I had the Scream Factory Blu-ray, and a friend of mine, Heather Buckley, actually did all the special features and the interviews and stuff. So I'd been looking forward to watching everything because that's what she does. She's right. An extras producer. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I met another person who was one of those too at a Texas Frightmare. There's somebody who had done some for Arrow or something, you know, or whatever. So it's nice to hear that like Scream Factory has their own people. And
Normally worked for Kino Lorber, and now she's kind of she's done Arrow and she's done Scream. Well, so I think she was doing it for Scream Exec or Arrow, whichever one was first. And then they kind of ported all of the features over into the second release, whether it was Arrow or Scream. I don't remember which one came first.
Nice. I have to get that. Like I had to buy it at some point. I just haven't yet. Probably mainly because I was like, I don't know. Like even meeting Tony Todd, you know this is fake. You know, like this isn't real. He's not really gonna. You know what I mean? But there's still that like that fear of actually doing the urban legend. So I just want to say thank you so much, Manny, and thank you, Bethany. I hope you're with us. And everything. Yep, there you are. Thank you so much, Bethany, for coming on the show as well.
And, no problem. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I learned a lot.
And I think next month, because I'm going to try to keep with a lot of themes or whatever. And since the new Halloween is coming out, I'm going to be doing Halloween H2O, which I don't know if that's like, I've already done Halloween 666 or whatever on another podcast. So I was like, let me do H2O. It's still 90s. It's the only other 90s one. And it's not one of my favorites, but I do like it because it's got a little bit of like a Kevin Williamson vibe to it, you know, and everything. And so I'm going to be doing that. Not sure who the guests will be yet. But that will be probably next month in October. Second, it's going to always be the second Friday in the month. So thank you guys so much. Hope you guys enjoyed coming on the show.
I did. Thank you very much for having me. This was awesome.
Yeah, it's been nice to meet y'all and good to see you again, Jonathan. That was awesome.
Definitely. All right. And have a good night. And you guys stick around. But everybody else, have a great night, and we will see you next month. Bye.
Keep it creepy.